Yes.
Good morning, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. I thought this morning, in view of my work with Be The Business or not, as the case may be, I managed to get a copy of their impact report for their first year. And it's 63 pages of quite a lot of diatribe and tells you a lot, says a lot, but actually doesn't tell you anything in particular. But it made me start thinking about customer feedback and client feedback and how we use that in our workplace scenarios to not just improve what we do, but also how our clients can use it to improve what they do. But looking at it from the ABM perspective is how do we use client feedback from our members and from our members' clients to preach to the world on our soapbox how effective business mentoring and coaching can be. And we've toiled with this debate over a number of years. We have something to prove to government, and the way we can do that is to ensure that we get feedback from the people that we mentor or coach to enable us as mentors to prove that business mentoring is a very valid professional way of improving business and the business owner. So why ask for it? How to get it, the forms it can take, what to do with it, and that we want more of it. And we can never stop getting enough feedback. I personally go on the ABM retreat twice a year that our friend and colleague Malcolm Durham organises in his beautiful property in Wales. Gary has been along, Tarun has been along. We get an enormous benefit out of them, and it's a time to reflect on how we do as mentors, probing, lots of peer questioning going on, which is sometimes tough, but we grow stronger as a result of it. And that's what feedback is about. It's enabling the client to give us a true version, a true view of what they think we can do for them and how we operate. And it gives us time to reflect as well, in that it allows us to change our style and become more effective and adapt to the client's need on an ongoing basis. After every session, I send my clients a feedback document that outlines the overview of the session with the action points that come as a result of the session, all agreed in beforehand. And also attached to that feedback form, my overview document is an online survey, which I send to the client electronically, created by one of the systems called Typeform, which I subscribe to. And it's five or six questions with a little bit of free form space on it for them to comment directly. All the questions are the same every time, and I use that to evaluate my the improvement of what I do and whether I need to change or whether they need anything else from me. So I ask them a very blunt and open question about, is there anything you want me to do differently? Is there anything I can do to improve what I do to help you more in your business? And that's what I do. And I analyse those, I store them, I reflect on them about once a quarter, apart from obviously looking at them every time they come in. And I change and adapt and work my marketing material, which is eventually how I use the feedback, into proving, hopefully, to my potential clients or anybody that approaches me that these are the testimonials from my clients. And you're allowed to, and if they agree, to contact them at any time to get a true picture of what I do to help people. And it's very valuable. I say it's a marketing tool as well, and I love it. I was hesitant in using it, first of all, but it was proved to me that it worked. We don't like honest feedback sometimes because it challenges us, and that's a challenge for us as individuals because we don't like criticism. And we've got, there's an ego problem about asking people for, you know, to put their hand up and recommend us or give us a testimonial or a case study. And we've got to put our egos to one side in business. There aren't any egos in business as far as I'm concerned, especially in the boardroom. And we've got to, I think, use those testimonials to benefit not just us as individuals and as business owners, but also our clients, but also the ABM. So there's a bit of a call out here, not just to you, but I think Georgina is going to put out a message to all our members over the coming days to say we really need your help, and we need your help as a as an organisation to reflect with our clients, obtain testimonials from them, write up a case study, good news stories, and let's put them out there in front of, excuse me, I'm going to sneeze, in front of Bayes and the Small Business Minister and say, this is what we do to help businesses. And between our 130 odd members, you know, we probably have between 10 and 35 clients a year, potentially more. That's a lot of case studies. You know, we're touching in excess, you know, of maybe 3,000 clients a year as a group collectively. And we've got a battle to fight, honestly. We have to make sure that the profession of business mentoring is seen by government and other business support organisations as a really effective opportunity for businesses to grow and develop. Not just the businesses themselves, but the business owners, because that's what most of us do. So that's my opening remarks, really. So I'd just like to open that up, really, and ask, first of all, do people actually actively seek case studies, testimonials and feedback? If you don't, maybe why not? Have you thought about it? And if you do, what do you do with it? Who'd like to jump in?
Sorry, ask for feedback after each session, but I was finding that some people are better than others at actually filling in the form. So I was thinking of moving it quarterly, because I work with, because I've got some people who are ongoing on mentoring because they're getting a lot of benefit out of it and they don't have anybody else higher up than them. So they find me a good resource. So with those guys, I was going to move it to feedback, like sort of twice a year or, you know, every 6 months or something, because the nature of how often I meet them. But then the other people I work with 6 months minimum, I ask them for feedback after each session. And I guess what I haven't done is used it for marketing purposes, because I have had some good positive feedback. So yeah.
what do you do with the feedback then, once you've got it?
I look at it, I reflect on it. And also, because I'm doing it for a big company, I'll do like a summary synopsis of it and point out any themes that are coming up to the senior executive, and I send them a report. I don't mention names or that, but I'll say, oh, this thing keeps coming up, you need to have a look at it. So I use it for that. In terms of a case study, I guess I could get a case study from the care home group I've been working for over a year now, because they keep getting me to mentor newer managers coming on board. So I think I could ask them. I was going to ask, in terms of consistency, is there like a format? I've never had to do a case study for something like this. So is there like a format we could use for consistency?
I'm certainly happy.
To send us so we can send it to our clients?
Yeah, I'm certainly happy to provide mine. In fact, they're on my website. But it's basically identifying the problem, coming up with the solution, what the result was of the implementation, and the comment of the client themselves. So it's quite succinct. Has anybody else got any case study formats they use? Gary?
Yeah, I regularly ask my clients for a testimonial. So I do it in two ways. So I either ask them just to share a few words in a 90-second, 75-second video, because I think non-video is easy for you to manipulate if you choose to manipulate. But if you get somebody saying on video what they've achieved, so I just get them, that's an impromptu, they do that to suit, and then you can obviously repurpose that. But what I also do periodically is I arrange to sit down with probably three or four clients and interview them for half an hour. And I ask them a set four or five questions. You know, what was the challenge before they engaged with me? Why did they choose me? What was the transformation they saw as a result of working with me? And what would they say to anybody that's thinking of getting into bed with a mentor? So I ask them the same four or five questions, and it gives a comparison. And then that, I put that longer video, if you like, that goes on my website. It's embedded into nurture sequences. So I've got two formats, but both video.
Do you do that on an individual basis with the client or in a group session?
I do it on an individual basis. So if I'm doing the longer ones, I might have all my kit set up for a day and I might invite four or five clients in, you know, one at 10, one at 11, one at 12. And they just come in, get relaxed, sit down and ask them the same four or five questions.
That's interesting. Anybody else?
Simon, I'm just emerging from a year to 18 months of sabbatical, so I've not been working a lot. But I am going through a process at the moment with clients I was working with up till about 18 months ago, just really to learn from them. And the questions I've been asking them was, what's the value I added? So very specifically, what value did I add? How can they quantify that? And where else could they have got it? And I've just started that process with three or four of them. Mainly where I've been working as a board advisor rather than as a mentor. But I think trying to understand that value thing, I'm finding quite interesting just to try and get them to. And I use a little thing I call my black box. So I say to them, imagine that you had that business problem and there's a black box that could solve it for you. What was it? It was inside my black box that made it work. And what other black boxes might have worked for you? And I find that just gets me into that discussion about the value I added. But I've only just started, so I can share it with you when I've done a couple.
Yeah, sure. Once we had the feedback and coming back to Taruna's point, what do we do with it? And it can be an effective marketing tool. Gary, you obviously use it for marketing purposes, and you're quite transparent with that with your clients.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I'm the same as you. At the end of every session, I don't do the formal survey follow-up because I just find that a lot of people with emails and text messages now are kind of quite busy. So I always ask at the end of it, how was that session for you? Did it deliver value? Is there anything I could have delivered that would have made it better value? And I tend to have that conversation at the end. And it puts them in a position where I can even see in their eyes if there was an issue. So for me, I'm always saying, look, you know, it's really important to me, if you're getting value, that you allow me to be able to continue working with you and also be able to use what you're sharing with me for marketing purposes. Good clients have never have a problem with it.
Sure, yeah. Julian, your client base is quite different as you work into the education sector. How do you engage your sector?
So a couple of ways, actually. We've been using Google Business to get reviews more recently because we find that people will be, once they find us on social media, it's good that once they come up with the Google search that there's a review straight away. So, and we just operate on the assumption that they leave us a good review because it's kind of forever public, but that's worked well so far. So we actually direct the parents and schools we work with to the Google review page, because that also having an active Google business page will help with SEO and things like that.
Do you find the public sector a little bit more reluctant to offer testimonials or
things? No, like I think, as Gary said, actually, you know, good clients are happy to give testimonials. I think they get it. I think they understand that you use this in a marketing capacity to win more business. I think everyone understands that now. So for the corporates, I'll direct them to LinkedIn. So I'll ask for a LinkedIn recommendation. So I'll just connect with them on there to get that. And then So we'll pull in reviews from, so mainly LinkedIn. We had a time when we asked the parents to leave reviews on our Facebook page, and then more widely the Google business page. And then we pull those in and we might stick them into proposals as and when we need.
Good. And so parents are invited to comment as well?
Yeah, so we usually direct the parents to the Google business page or the Facebook page, and then councils, local authorities, we'll direct them to the LinkedIn to do a LinkedIn recommendation usually.
And have you found that it's actually helped gain you business?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. Cool. I mean, you know, there's a really nice recommendation I got from the chief exec of Brent Council, and I use that at every given opportunity.
Why not?
But yeah, no, it works. And I think, you know, we work on the basis of just developing really good relationships. And once we've, you know, demonstrated value, I think people are happy to leave, you know, a nice recommendation. And,
right.
And they understand why, and they understand that we'll use that.
Yeah. Anna, your work is a little bit different as well, in that I guess some of your face-to-face work, one-to-one, is confidential. So obtaining testimonials or feedback, is that difficult or challenging?
Yes, in a word. But I mean, it's a really great conversation, because it's got me thinking. I like Julian's idea of Google reviews, and I have also done the LinkedIn request as well for sort of, you know, testimonials and endorsements as well. I do a lot more formal feedback after training sessions. So after group sessions, I always do an evaluation form, asking. It kind of depends on the group and the context, yeah. But asking, yeah. You know. If the objective was to increase their awareness, you know, how they were before they did the training versus afterwards, you can sort of measure the impact a little bit, and also get sort of, you know, qualitative feedback, as well as kind of like ratings. And also I use it to ask them what other topics they're interested in as well. So you can sort of, you know, find out what people are interested in, so you can make sure that your content and topics are, you know, meeting what people are interested in at the moment. But yeah, sort of like one-to-one coaching, I don't quite so much, to be honest, but I'm definitely thinking about it following this conversation.
Yeah, I guess confidentiality is an issue around lots of the businesses that we work with. I do exec coaching as well for CEOs in some fairly large companies, and obviously they wouldn't probably want me to use a feedback or testimonial from them, because maybe they don't want people even in their own organisation to know that they've had a coach or mentor.
Yeah.
You know, but there are ways around it. And some of it actually are quite proud of it, you know, and very open and transparent, where others are very reluctant.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I ask for an anonymised quote that I can use as a reference for a testimonial. And people are usually quite happy to that if they've got a company policy, like you say, that they don't publicly give out reviews and references.
Do you think the anonymous ones are as powerful as ones with a name and a company attached to them?
No, they're not at all. But, you know, sometimes people can say, you can mention the company, but, you know, not the individual, or you just give a kind of like a title or a function area. So it can add a little bit of sort of, you know, credibility and sort of show that it helped, just made it up.
Yeah. Gary, you're shaking your head.
No, I agree. I just think in a world where there's so much noise on social media and anybody can put anything out there and people want to put on a false, you know, you see all these pictures, don't you, these people with Ferraris and all the rest of it, and it's just, it's bullshit. And I even saw a story recently of a woman that was going on eBay and buying like empty Gucci shoe boxes, so that in the background on her Zoom, she had all of these, to, you know, to show that she was into Gucci, and actually they were just empty boxes. And I think, you know, there's nothing as powerful as having a name, a title, and in an ideal world, you'd have a video, because it's impossible to fake that.
Yeah. I also think it's about being assertive to ask for a recommendation or a referral. Sorry, let me just get rid of the dog. And I can't remember where I heard this statistic, but apparently we're not very good at sort of assertively or proactively saying to people, you know, if I've been of value or of service to you, please think of other people that you could recommend me to. But apparently if you do say that quite assertively, people are far more likely to. You know, it gives them that prompt and permission to do it. And I think actually having that third party referral is incredibly powerful.
Yeah, and I actually, one of the questions I ask very openly is, would you recommend me to somebody else, colleague or friend? And if so, who would that be? And can you make the introduction? So, you know, I'm I'm a typical Brit, you know, we don't like asking, do we? You know, it's always get in a queue and wait your turn, basically. But in business, I guess I certainly learned over the years that if you don't ask, you don't get. So it's taking the opportunity. What can they do apart from say no? So, and that's not a reflection on us potentially, but just that they're not in a position to do that at that time. But even the ones that don't, I've found that maybe in a few months they do, you know, and I get an email out of the blue or, oh, so-and-so put me in touch with you and, you know, you did this for them. Could you have a chat with me?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? I received a testimonial this morning from a client that we probably fell out a little bit in the end. He didn't want to do his homework, and then he just got a bit funny with payment because his business wasn't in a great place as a byproduct of stuff he'd done before. And we kind of just parted ways. And we didn't fall out as such, but it just kind of came to an abrupt stop. But I keep adding value, I keep pushing content out. I got an email off him this morning to say, I just introduced you to a lady that I know that's looking for a mentor, and I know that you'll deliver value. And I'm going, well, do you know what? I'm obviously doing something right. But I never, because of how the relationship finished, I never followed it up and said, give me a testimonial, because I didn't think it was appropriate.
Yeah. And we all need validation, don't we? You know, it's we all need that pat on the back to make sure it's good for us as individuals to know that what we're doing is the right thing for our clients. And I think that feedback and testimonial is really important to give us that validation.
In terms of asking, I was asked to go on a podcast interview and a podcast which had my ideal avatar in, you know, listeners in it. And my call to action was for the first 30 people who email me with the podcast in the title, I would send a copy of my book for free in return for a review on Amazon of my book. So I think that's a fair thing to do. I wasn't expecting a lot, but you know what? I've had 27 emails for the book. I've always really been speaking, some of them missed the point and didn't send me their postal address for me to post a hard copy of my book. But what that did was I was able to actually tell them to listen to my podcast as well. But actually, I've been asking them to, A, give me a review for the book, or listen to my podcast. And actually, I've got a few phone calls out of that for hopefully business. So by me asking, going on one podcast, hopefully it's generated about 3 or 4 new clients and maybe more going forward. So. Brilliant. You know, I'm always of the thing that if you don't ask, you don't get. And like you said, the worst that'll happen is you'll get a no, and then you brush yourself off and start.
Move on.
And I had an email from someone saying that they wanted to refer me, but they weren't sure if I was going to have enough capacity to take on a client. So I think sometimes people don't refer us because they think we're going to be really busy, and they might say no. And actually, just saying to them, you know, please pass my details on to people. We can always put people on a waiting list if needed.
Yeah, I've done that as well, and people are happy to wait if they think you're good enough. I've learned that as well. They're happy to wait. So, yeah.
So with a few minutes we've got left, just turning that on its head and thinking about the association and our need for client referrals and testimonials about our mentor members, how can we reach out to members? What do we need to ask? Because we've done this before and very little has come back. And I'm sure they do, like everybody around the table here, you know, we do get our testimonials and case studies. How can we use those to publicise what we do?
Well, actually, I think it's important that members, we underline to members the power and usage of getting testimonials and getting referrals, and perhaps provide them with a standard form. So, you know, they don't have to think about it. They can just automatically send it. Try and give them some best practice, and we've sort of worked around that today. I think that'd be useful to have that. I do get testimonials. I don't make that much use of them. There's a few on my website, but I don't go seeking them as much as I ought to. And it's been interesting listening today to how useful they can be and how powerful they can be. So I think perhaps we do need to underline to members as part of our service that this is what you do, this is what you can get. It will get you business. Also, we need it for us to lobby and to talk to people. Going back to where we started, we're talking to Bears, talking to corporates. I'm talking to that West at 12 o'clock on about the ABM. No, we've got that ammunition to use to say, no, here we are, here's testimonials from Gary or from Saruna or from Julian or whoever it may be, to underline what we're doing and what we're about and to show our offer. So I think have a perhaps a bit of a collective effort on that, but we need to provide the armory with which to do it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've actually drafted a briefing paper around obtaining feedback from clients, which Georgina, I think, will hopefully distribute after the meeting, today's meeting, just to get some tips and pointers. Yeah, good. Anything else anybody wants to add?
I think two very, very quick ones for me. You've touched on it without mentioning it. Net Promoter Score, on a score of 0 to 10, how likely are you to recommend me? I think that's really dead simple. I got one from Go Cardless yesterday, and because it was literally one question and it took me 1 second to answer it, I did. Anything beyond that, you tend to put it off until later. So I think using a simple Net Promoter Score, either from the ABM to the members, from the members to their clients, I don't think that would be a bad thing, and it would be dead easy to set up, just as an asset. And then if somebody's an 8, 9 or a 10, you're going to go, well, if you're happy to recommend me, who can you recommend me to? And then another thing, this is just a tip really, with Julian, you mentioned LinkedIn testimonials, which are quite powerful. What's even more powerful for me is giving somebody a LinkedIn testimonial when they haven't asked for one. So going on to LinkedIn, you know, we've just switched IT providers, and the new guy is literally streets ahead of the last guy. You know, he's a country mile different. He's not asked for one. Maybe he should have done. But I'm actually going to go onto LinkedIn this morning. I'm going to say, what a great result. Thank you, Adam. Da, 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 da. And I think that has such more of an impact when it's not asked for. So just an idea for people.
Okay, really good. Anybody want to add anything to just end it off?
Okay. Just in terms of promoting sort of like the ABM and how we can support businesses at the moment, can we sort of, you know, give some of this information to Chamber of Commerce? Because I know they're trying to do a lot to support businesses, and I think just reminding them that we're here as part of the solution, help, support, however you want to sort of give it to it.
Yeah, we if you have any tips, me and Georgina are happy to listen, because we've tried and tried and tried. Okay. With various chambers of commerce, and as you probably know, they're run independently and very autonomously in every single region, and they're only probably as effective or good as the chair or their small team that they've got running them. We've tried working with the national body and got absolutely nowhere. We've tried with London, which is obviously the biggest, and got, even though I'm speaking to head of member development, it's just so tough trying to get a result out of them.
What about the FSB?
Well, the FSB, we had the head of policy on the ministerial call last week. So I'm taking the opportunity to link in directly with him. I also have met Alan Cherry before, the chief exec, national chief exec of FSB. So I could drop that name into the conversation as well and hopefully get a result.
I'm a member of the FSB, and I'm a volunteer for our area in Coventry. So I know one of the guys in our Coventry area is actually one of the directors of FSB. So
yeah, FSB seem to have a more coordinated voice nationally. So it does seem the better organisation. Chamber of Commerce are good in certain areas. Just like the growth hubs, really. You know, there's good ones and not so good ones. But yeah, we're trying with that. But if anybody's got any influence, ideas, people to speak to, me, Georgina, Gary or Chris are very, very happy to take those on board and have those conversations, Chris in particular. Okay, guys, thank you so much for joining us today. Have a really good weekend. I hope your week goes well next week, and keep up the really good work. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks, guys. Bye.
See you guys. Bye.
Thank you. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.